Blog Talk Radio.
James, and welcome to We've Been Seeing Sports here on blogtalkradio.com. We are at the Blue Retina Entertainment Company Studios live in Central Oregon. After our first break, we will come back and we will talk about this free agency frenzy that's been going on. A lot of great news that you guys have already heard. We do this broadcast once a week, so things have changed quickly. But we're going to give our spin on it, and we're going to let you know how we feel about some of these things, especially the Murray signing. We're going to talk a little bit about Chip Kelly, what we think he's about, and our opinions on him and what he's been doing in this free agency. So stay tuned with us, and we will be back with We've Been Saying It Sports, and we hope that you guys will enjoy what you hear, and we'll all be more enlightened when we return to the City of Sports. Obviously, the most notable is running back DeMarco Murray signing with the Philadelphia Eagles and reportedly called over to Chip Kelly asking for a job. Cowboy fans, yeah, I mean, wow. So it was suspected. This was expected this might happen just due to what we heard with maybe the Cowboys' willingness to pay him what he wants, and which is technically market value. 4-year running back, I believe, and was ridden pretty hard throughout the season, last season. And so, great guy, great player, great leader, and you just wonder what that locker room is missing or going to be missing. They just didn't want to pay him that much money. I mean, they offered, I think the deal that they were offering was somewhere in the ballpark of $6 to $8 million a year. I don't know how much guaranteed money that was that they were going to give him with that contract, but Philadelphia Eagles gave him a 5-year, $40 million contract. And I think like 20 or $21 million of that is guaranteed. That's big money. And it's not the biggest offer out there for him. Oakland could have paid him a lot. But he wanted to go to a team that he believes has a possibility of contending and winning. And the Cowboys won the division last season over Philadelphia. I understand it. I get it. I think DeMarco Murray, as far as money-wise, you know, it's okay to get paid for who you are and what you do. A couple things I would have to say, I guess, to DeMarco Murray would be that you did get a chance to run behind one of the best offensive lines in football today. Good pass game. The passing game was great this year. Romo probably had his best season of his career and a great season in comparison to a lot of other quarterbacks. What are you getting when you're going into Philadelphia? I get that you're getting money. Chip Kelly-style offense, I would say that, yeah, I guess. But I think DeMarco Murray probably has the best chance of winning, staying with Dallas, as far as them pursuing playoffs. So. But what do I know anyway? It looks like Stephen Jones is now really the guy making some of these decisions now, that he's stepping up a little bit more in place of Jerry Jones. And things are being they had it about. They had a dollar amount that they weren't going to go past for DeMarco Murray, and they stuck with it and let him go. If anybody can do something like this with a player like this, I think it's Dallas. If you look at their ability to get second, third, fourth rounder at the running back position, there's running backs out there this season. There are in the draft, and I don't know. A lot of people are saying, I'm not sure about Randall, but I think Randall could hold the load, and I think that offensive line is going to be even better this season. I'm a little upset we didn't make any plays or we didn't pull any free agent signings on defense. I was kind of hoping for – actually, when I heard about Revis, I was hoping we'd try at least for him. I knew we wouldn't get him. I was pretty sure it was like almost a done deal that he'd go to New York. But I was hoping – oh, man, sorry. I was hoping we'd at least go after, the Cowboys. I say we. I'm a fan. But the Dallas Cowboys, I was hoping that they would go after Antonio Cromartie. Thought maybe we'd have him. I don't know what the Cowboys are doing, and we will see what they do for the draft. As far as free agency, I think we didn't do much. But we didn't do a whole lot last year in free agency. We're just not that kind of team. And they try to build from the draft. So, the state of the Cowboys. I don't want to get too far into that. We're just kind of talking about free agent signing. And we'll talk a little bit about the impacts. I think the Philadelphia Eagles have lost so much. And I think Chip Kelly had a plan. And I think he still has a plan. I don't think it all panned out the way that he was hoping that it would. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Chip Kelly later. Oh, my gosh. I cannot stop yawning. Wow, I am very sorry about that. We are only on audio today. We are only on the air for Block Talk Radio. We're not going to be on YouTube for this one. Well, we'll be on YouTube, but it'll be all audio, no video. I don't know if you are happy about that or not, so I apologize if you aren't happy about it, but it's just kind of what we're dealing with today. But next week, our episode will be we will have the video going, and we have a couple things planned for that as well. A little bit more entertainment value. So who believes that, Sam Bradford was a good choice? I don't get it. I was trying to, I was on Chip's side with Shady McCoy, releasing him made sense. Especially the way he explained things and described things. But Sam Bradford, the guy hasn't really played. Was he talented in college? Yeah. He made some decent throws in the NFL, but, I don't know. I don't know. I think Chip has kind of lost me on this one, but we shall see. I think Nick Foles is actually going to play very well in St. Louis. I think St. Louis will be the winner there out of the Sam Bradford and Nick Foles draft. I think Nick Foles. Who's all right? Nick Foles is really going to be the one to do it. He's going to be the better quarterback in the end. Ndamukong Suh went to Miami, and I think, oh my gosh, so Miami has been kind of one of those teams that is like off and on, and I don't know. I think with Ndamukong Suh, the defensive line is already pretty tough. I think they're going to have a few more wins this season. I don't know how many more wins, but I think just Ndamukong Suh's presence and what he brings to the table is going to give them 3 more wins automatically than what they had last year. And it's totally the truth. So, man, today is a weird day. I don't know why I'm so yawning. I wish I need to get my co-host here. Eventually, he's out at the moment. So, but it'd be nice to have him on, help out a little bit, and do a couple things. So, we're going to go to our second break. When we get back, we will get back and do a couple of things.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school, so you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby.
Waves. So, it's going to be a very interesting season. You're going to have to, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the impact is going to be. And I'm not sure. You say all these free, you know, there's a lot of free agents that are so good. And you know, that's going to help every team. You know, each one of these good signings, but you never know through free agency. I mean, there's been a lot of those instances where free agency didn't all work out. I am actually really excited and anxious to see what Indianapolis is going to do. Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, I think that defense is okay. They've got some work to do, but I think they've been putting in the work. And Luck is still improving. Luck is still getting better, and he was good. And he is good. He's good right now. And he'll be better again this season, and I think Frank Gore is going to complement that game so well. Johnson is going to be another threat. And I know the DeMarco Murray trade and Ndamukong Suh, or the DeMarco Murray signing and then Ndamukong Suh signing in Miami. I know those are big ones, just single players that can do some game changing. But for my money, I think Indianapolis is making the better moves free agency wise, and I think after the draft and whatever else they decide to do, I think they're the ones that are going to be the most improved team. If I had to go ahead and say, make a weird, wild prediction, which we know that any kind of prediction as far as, like, success of teams right now in the preseason, in the off season, it's almost ridiculous to even think about making. But I'm going to have to say Indianapolis Colts. Might be going to the Super Bowl this year. I think they should be the favorite just right now with what they got to come out the AFC. That's just my thing. But this is the pieces they got. And another thing, too, that I believe is really going to benefit them is they've got a few seasons. They've been in the playoffs. And they're starting to become one of those young season teams. And with these other pieces, these veteran pieces, they're very much leaders of their team in place. I think that's kind of what's going to happen. We have my co-host about to call in here soon. Almost a quarter of the way through. But I can't stop this day yawning. I really apologize for how horrible I'm being right now to you guys, if you're even listening. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Chip Kelly a little bit as well, what we think about him and what's going on there in Philly. And eventually we're also going to be going and giving you basically like first thought predictions, come up with something that we would consider to be something like that no one's really talking about, but that we think will happen. And just some crazy talks, crazy predictions. Just like I just came up with that crazy prediction about the Colts going to the Super Bowl this year, and I don't think that's far-fetched. I don't. You could say Patriots defending the title, you know, but at the same time, I don't know, I've always felt good about what's going on in Indianapolis and that being built, and gosh, I'm such a Luck believer. And I don't know if he's going to have to wait for New England to come out of the picture, you know, for Brady to retire, Belichick to retire, and I think those are going to be simultaneous things. I think Brady and Belichick might retire together, go get on a boat somewhere and go fishing for a while and stuff like that. We're coming up on the... Oh, my God. I really do apologize again. We're coming up on, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady's final seasons. Isn't that crazy? Like, oh, man, it's been NFL forever now. It's going to change the game for a long time. Some of these young quarterbacks, other than Luck, though, who is carrying that torch? I mean, maybe we'll get some rookies in that'll do that. You got Russell Wilson, but is Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck the new Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? I don't think so. I think Andrew Luck is up there. I like Russell Wilson, but... And he will go down as a great, I mean, eventually. But is he that impactful? It's like, we all know, like, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that were all great. But the impact of Jordan was a lot more. And the impact with Peyton Manning and with all of them, you know, it's just going to be a way different league. So we're going to go to a quick break, and when we get back, I will have my co-host. Welcome back. I am now joined with our beautiful, beautiful, precious co-host, Lino Hernandez.
Hello.
How's it going? How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Just life. You know, it's hectic out there.
It is hectic. It's like, I would say that you have white people problems, but you're not white.
No, I got first world problems. First world.
Personal problems. So, yeah,
no,
we've been talking a lot about free agency because I would say yesterday, like, I thought it was getting kind of nuts with all the pre-offers and stuff that were going on. And then, boom, you know, as from yesterday to today, it kind of nuts. There's some the one thing we talked about a little bit, and I think is what everyone's kind of talking about right now, is Chip Kelly signing DeMarco Murray, and all reports point towards that DeMarco Murray actually called Chip Kelly, and that DeMarco Murray wasn't even on his radar. Because I think everyone just assumed that Dallas would eventually get the deal done, and that DeMarco Murray would want to go back to that situation. What kind of initial thoughts do you have? You know, like with DeMarco Murray going there, just
honestly,
like how that all happened.
Well, you know, speaking of first world problems, obviously the Cowboys have some now. You know, with DeMarco Murray heading to Philadelphia, I mean, that's going to leave a huge gap in the backfield for, you know, the Cowboys, a team that I really felt has been on the cusp of being able to make the Super Bowl. I mean, they literally have just been right there. But now you lose a key part of your offense, and now you have to replace that individual, you know? And I get that there's probably plenty of running backs that are coming into this year's draft, but that means you now have to groom a new running back, get him associated, you know, to your team, and get him, you know, on the same playbook as everybody else. So, you know, for the Cowboys, I think it's a huge loss. I know that they were probably waiting out to see if whatever offer was thrown out to DeMarco Murray, they were going to probably try and trump that. But it already seemed like with DeMarco Murray, you know, it was reported that he contacted, you know, Chip Kelly with the intention of wanting to play in Philadelphia because of Sam Bradford. It just changed everything for the Cowboys at that point. So,
yeah, I think so. And I think the biggest thing is, like, no one was going to match the money. I was just talking about this, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles gave him, I think it's like $40 million for 5 years, and 21 of that, $21 million guaranteed. The Cowboys were sitting at, like, a $6 to $8 million a year for him. There is one thing that I would say on the Cowboys' end is that I don't know if they should have spent that much money. I know it just sounds weird to say, you know, DeMarco Murray with his great, I think he got, what, like 1,800 yards last season? Like, he broke Emmitt Smith's record. But
yes,
the only point that I would make is, like, is he going to repeat that? And, like, are they – he – this was his first season that he got to play every game. And he was even hurt still.
That's a big, you know. I mean, you're right. You know, is he worth the money? You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not a GM. But as far as that goes, I mean, obviously the Eagles were willing to pay that. You know, and even getting on the whole Eagles thing, that's still a huge experiment that's still, you know, in flux, you know. So with them, you know, losing out on DeMarco Murray, I don't know how big of a – how beneficial and how, you know, detrimental it is to the team. Because you're right. Now they don't have to fork out this, you know, gratuitous amount of money for a running back, but you also lose a very strong running back, you know. Yeah, granted, he's been hurt, you know, a few times, and he's never really truly played a full season up until, like, what, last season, I guess. But the thing is, he's still a productive running back when he's out or when he's playing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's gonna really, really hurt. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know, the releasing of, you know, Trent Richardson, you know, maybe you bring in Trent Richardson to the Cowboys and then you draft a young running back and, you know, make them both compete for a starting position. I mean, that could be possible, you know, because I just don't know how many other running backs are really out there that, you know, you could, you know, theoretically sign. I mean, I think what, even Reggie Bush is out there, but he's not a strong running back. He's not as powerful as a DeMarco Murray, you know. That guy was
no.
a beast.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen is you're going to get that, you know, running backs by committee. Like, I think they'll, you know, have three running backs and just kind of go for it. I mean, the thing is, too, is, like, the Cowboys, if you notice in the last, like, whatever amount of years, they don't do a whole lot with free agency. They're not – I mean, Carr was, like, probably the biggest free agent signing in, like, a long time, and that wasn't that big of a signing. They build through the draft for the most part. And I just kind of feel like what it came down to was, I don't think there's anyone you can really say did the wrong thing. Like, Cowboys, like, I don't think for the Cowboys, I don't think he was going to be worth that much, as much money as the Eagles are willing to pay him. For the Eagles, he is worth that much money, if that makes sense. Like, so to go back to the Cowboys, with the situation that he would have been in and with what the Cowboys have already, he's not worth as much as he would be for the Eagles, who don't really have, especially getting rid. I think this might, when DeMarco Murray called Chip Kelly, because a couple things did not happen right for Chip Kelly. I think his plan that he had, whatever he was doing in the beginning, there was a couple things that went awry because Macklin, it's not like he got rid of Macklin. Macklin just didn't want to resign. So that kind of threw a wrench, I think, in his plans. And then when everyone was on him about the shady situation, I think when that phone rang with DeMarco Murray on the other end, he just snatched it up because it is kind of a safety blanket for him now. So, like, he doesn't have much of an impact for losing McCoy. But, you know, the other thing I was going to say about the Cowboys, you know, letting him go is, for one, that you don't know. He could do well. He might not do well. But now the Cowboys have to really, honestly hope that that offensive line is as good advertised.
Yeah. Well,
DeMarco Murray was a good blocker.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, you know, you want to get on, like, the whole Philadelphia Eagles thing, right, with certain things backfiring in certain people's faces. As far as that goes, I really think that the Eagles felt they were going to sign, you know, Frank Gore. And then when that went awry, obviously they turned to Ryan Matthews. And I think they just got lucky in that DeMarco Murray wanted to go to Philadelphia because, I mean, that could have just completely imploded for their running game, you know. Trading McCoy for, you know, Kiko Alonso, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, good linebacker, you know, but I don't know, man, you know, Sean McCoy is just such a good running back and such a key part of your offense, and especially probably with what you're trying to establish in Philadelphia, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's the big thing is that Shady McCoy was to the Eagles, I think, what DeMarco Murray was becoming to the Cowboys. And the big thing, though, with that is I think now you look at everything, it's almost possible to think that Chip Kelly, before he traded LeSean McCoy, I think he knew Frank Gore was available and that he was considering signing with the Eagles. I think there was some kind of inside information because that's what it feels like. It feels like he was in the know.
Agree with you. No, the NFL this year established what was it that you could actually talk to players prior to I think what the free agent signing period, but I think you couldn't make any deals prior. You know, and you and I both know, I mean, about sitting here with as quickly as deals came that the first day, obviously deals had already been reached. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know?
Right.
But, you know, maybe, you know, McCoy was becoming what, you know, Murray was to the Cowboys. But, I mean, still losing that and then, you know, yeah, you probably feel like, oh, yeah, we're going to for sure get Frank Gore, you know, but then all of a sudden he decides he's going to sign with the Indianapolis Colts. You're pretty much left there like, oh, crud, now what are we going to do, you know? Sign Ryan Matthews?
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah. Who, like, nothing against the guy, you know, pro player, but, like, it's like, who are you signing, you know? And then now all of a sudden, you know, luckily, with some, you know, strange fate, DeMarco Murray's like, oh, yeah, you know, my former roommate, you know, is there. I'd like to go play. And I'm like, you know, fine. That's great. I think he got lucky. They got bailed out by just a fluke, you know, fluke chance that he wanted to play with Sam Bradford again.
Yeah, I think so, too. And maybe after Frank Gore wasn't in the picture, maybe that's exactly why he went after Sam Bradford, hoping to attract Murray. I don't know. Who knows what's in Chip Kelly's head?
Well, and you're right. You know, if you want to go back to, like, what the Cowboys probably did not lose out on when it comes to, like, the money thing, you know, what is it? Dwayne Bowe just got released by the Chiefs. Why not bring in another stellar receiver? How about Dez Bryant? And then, yeah, draft a young running back who's going to be behind – you know, a great offensive line. I mean, I'm not great, but a very strong offensive line. He could probably develop out to be a really good running back. Plus, you already have relief on two good receivers.
Yeah. Well, and right now, you know, a lot of people are saying that this year, the Dallas Cowboys will basically have the strongest offensive line in the NFL. But the thing is, there was a lot of, you know, oh, man, I just think DeMarco Murray did so many things to help keep Romo from getting sacked in the passing game. He blocked so well. And that's the one thing I think they're going to really be missing is
stuff.
And,
well,
yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Well, with Trent Richardson on the market, you know, if you don't really necessarily need your running back to run all the time, you know, you can always have Trent Richardson for those plays to help protect Romo. You know, and then you have another speedy running for your actual run plays. I don't know. You know, I mean, those are just options that are available to the Cowboys right now to help fill a void.
What about, isn't Reggie Bush available?
He is, but he's more, to me, I don't see him as somebody who literally blocks for you, like a DeMarco Murray, you know, or Frank Gore.
Yeah, that's true.
I really see him more like, you know, finesse runner, not a power back.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but I guess I wasn't thinking on that line. I'm just thinking, like, Reggie Bush would be a good game manager as a running back. So, like, having... Reggie Bush, Joseph Randall. I'm a Joseph Randall believer. I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to break for all the, you know, be offensive player of the year or do all that stuff. But Randall can handle the ball.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know. There are available running backs out there. You know, these are – but the ones that are available that are still left, to me, you know, have floundered. I mean, you're talking about Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
You're talking about freaking, you know, Trent Richardson. I mean, you know, what other name running backs are out there that really are going to be viable options for you to pick up? I mean, is Ray Rice coming back into the league? You know, maybe you pick up a Ray Rice if he's able to play. You know, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think the Cowboys are just going to sit on the fact that they don't want to pay – there's a certain amount of money that they don't want to pay for a running back. I think they just don't believe that they'll get – let's just face it. Like, you're not getting – It's a very slim chance you're getting the type of yards that DeMarco Murray got last year. He's not going to repeat. And
you're right.
So taking that into consideration and thinking about, you know, putting together a running back staff. I mean, look at the Cowboys' history, though. I mean, they've done okay with, like, third round. I think DeMarco Murray, I think, was, like, a third-round pick or something like that. And running backs are out there. And I think they've always had not great but decent, like, you know, they had, you know, Marion Barber and those type of guys for a little bit. And, you know, they come in, they do okay. That's what I say. I think they're just going to go back to the whole, well, our offensive line's better than it's been in years. Like, their offensive line is better than it has been since around 2007. And you mix that with being able to pull some running backs out of the draft, I think they're like, well, that'll cost us about $3 million a year for everybody, and we won't have to spend that money. And cap room will be safe. And I was really hoping that they would go after Cromartie, but they didn't.
Who just got reunited with his teammate Revis? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting thing with the Jets.
Oh, yeah. I like what the Jets are doing with their defense over there, because if you think that they're trying to line up to draft Marcus Mariota, okay, which everyone thinks that's where he's going to go, which that's fine, okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
and now you pick up, what is it, Brandon Marshall. If you have a defense, a good defense, you know, that can keep games close, you take a lot of pressure off of a young quarterback. So,
I think that team is set up to do some things.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different Jets team this year.
Yeah, unless the rumors are true that the Redskins want to take Mariota, but, you know,
I think that maybe
they're being smart for the first time in years.
I think if Mariota goes to the Redskins, his career might not do so well.
Well, and for me, yeah, I think his career will go flat. But, you know, you look at the Redskins, and that's just a hysterical situation to look at. You trade away all those first-round picks, all those draft picks to get how you want, and then you're going to go ahead and go for Mariota. But for me, I think the main reason why they're doing the rumor of, like, drafting Mariota is to have maybe somebody, you know, to trade with and get back the picks that they probably lost for Griffin.
Yeah, I'd say that. That would be possible, and or not, because, I mean, that who knows? One minute, Jay Gruden just can't stand RG3, and then now he's like, yeah, that's my guy. That's our starter. I'm okay with him now. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Redskins are a joke. That whole team and that whole situation, that organization is a joke. I mean, you're telling me with all the needs that your team has right now, right at this
mm-hmm.
moment, okay, that you're going to go ahead and just draft another quarterback when there's so many other positions that need to get filled that you're going to be able to pick them, you know? You
mm-hmm.
have this quarterback. Even in his first year, he did really well. Yeah, so he got injured. Injuries happen, okay? Now, the Eagles are taking a risk, you know, on Sam Bradford, all right? But this is a guy that you traded away so much to get. I think you give him the chance because he has to still prove himself, prove that he is that player that he was in the first year, and then go from there. And draft and help build around him. And instead, you're going to go ahead and draft a quarterback. But this is just going to set you even back again because now you're losing that first-round pick to pick up a quarterback, and you're not really building the team that can be successful around a quarterback that you pick anyways. So to me, it's just a dumb concept to be like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and draft Marcus Mariota. Stupid.
If they draft Marcus Mariota, do they cut RG3?
I don't know. I don't know what they do. Maybe they make them both compete for the position. But, you know, the Redskins will only have so much leverage. But I think once that clock starts ticking down, you know, and if they don't get the trade offer that they want, I don't see them drafting Mariota. I think it's more of a bluff. You know, and I think the team they can call them out on that bluff.
I think everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then even if they do draft him, okay, they go to try to trade him. I mean, really, they're not going to – I really don't see them getting a lot for that pick. They might as well just pick for what they need and go from there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. The Redskins are the Redskins, and they've been Redskins for a long time. So think about it this way then. What happens is, because, I mean, I'm up and down with RG3. He's got some things. I think he's got some upside to him. But so Mariota goes to Washington. They cut RG3. Does New York sign RG3?
No,
or do they stick with old boy?
Huh, yeah. I don't know. You know, that's a tough one to think about when you're looking at quarterbacks and quarterback situations. RG3, to me, like, does not have the same passing capability that I think Marcus Mariota has, or even Jameis Winston for that, okay? So,
right.
Yeah, you could say, you know, go ahead and sign RG3, right? Go for it, you know? But if you're looking for somebody who can pass the ball, be very efficient, you know, he's not it. And it's definitely within Winston and Mariota. I think, even though I don't like Winston, I'll give him the fact that he is a good quarterback. He's got the potential to be a good quarterback. You know, if he can get, honestly, keep his nose clean off the field, he'll have a stellar career. I really do believe that. But you want a quarterback that could, if you're going to have a mobile quarterback like RG3, you want him to be able to be a very accurate passer. And I think that Mariota and James Winston are better quarterbacks. So do I say, you know, Redskins potentially draft Mariota? Yeah, okay, sure. I mean, I guess cut your losses with RG3, keep Mariota, because I do think he would be the better quarterback. But for the Jets, who need a passing quarterback, especially if you're going to have Brandon Marshall, I don't think RG3 is your answer. I really don't see him being the answer.
No, but neither is who they got now.
Yeah, they're in a world of hurt. Honestly, with their pick, they have to take a quarterback. They absolutely have to. And they have to hope that Mariota will be there.
Here's another idea. I mean, are the Eagles kidding themselves? I mean, does Sam Bradford even, gosh, how does he even get back off this injury again? Like, he's always hurt.
Well, that's a funny situation in itself, too. I mean, you look at the Eagles, okay? Nick Foles, to me, was a good quarterback. All right, good, you know.
Me too. I haven't understood the talk that surrounded Nick Foles. Like, oh, well, he's not that great. What, like, the dude did some great things just the first time he came out.
No, absolutely, he did. I think he's a good quarterback. I think the Rams are picking up a good quarterback, you know.
Me too.
I think he's starting to develop some more. But Bradford has not played for 2 years, you know. I mean, yeah, you can count his preseason games with last year. You know, he hasn't played in 2 years. And you're going to risk it on a guy who tore his ACL the same knee now, okay? That's going to be the face of your franchise? Like, I do think Chip Kelly's taking a huge risk on Sam Bradford. Huge, huge risk, okay?
I think so, too, and I think this is a job-ending risk.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. But here's the thing. Us as fans, us as, you know, even commentators or anything like that, we're going to sit there. We can you know, question it and ridicule it and criticize it all we want. But if it works out and it becomes, you know, something where they end up in the Super Bowl with Sam Bradford, we're going to start looking at him as, oh, my God, he's a genius, you know, instead of the question.
True.
So it can go either way. It will be either career-ending or we're going to be, you know, a year or two down the road being like, wow, he is a football genius.
Right, and I think there's some merit to that thinking. But, like, it got me thinking a little bit. It's like, with as good of a coach as Bill Belichick is, does Bill Belichick still win a Super Bowl if he never has Tom Brady?
No, I don't think so. I think that Tom Brady was extremely instrumental in the success of the Patriots and the success of Bill Belichick, okay? I think that without Tom Brady, because if you look at the Patriots and how many players, you know, it's been a revolving door of players to the Patriots organization, okay? And Bill Belichick's picked the right players. The only thing that's been constant in New England has been Tom Brady. So I do believe that without a Tom Brady quarterback, I don't think that Bill Belichick has as many Super Bowls as he has now. I think he could still win one or two, but I don't think he would have as many.
But that's another thing I was thinking is, like, so you take that and you mirror that with Philly, and does Bill Belichick in New England win a Super Bowl with Sam Bradford?
I think that just like Bill Parcells, I think Belichick has the ability to get the best and the most out of any player that he has. So with Sam Bradford, I think that he's got the mechanics. I think he's got the knowledge. I think he's got the ability to be a good quarterback. And maybe with a coach like Bill Belichick, I think he'd be successful. But I still think he's no Tom Brady, especially mentally. You know, with Tom Brady, you get
Does Chip Kelly, as far as his, I guess, legacy, if you will, or people thinking of his football IQ, does Chip Kelly get a little bit of a pass if Bradford ends up being hurt again? Or, like, does he get almost a mulligan? Where it's like, well, there wasn't really anybody around. We didn't have any quarterbacks out there. Because you could say that. You could say there wasn't a whole lot of options for Chip Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily about options. I mean, I think that holding on to Foles and Sanchez would have been the better choices. But then again, I don't know what, you know, I guess what Chip Kelly's philosophy is and what he's trying to establish. Maybe he sees something in these players that we don't. And that's cool. That's fine. You know, Sam Bradford, we're definitely questioning, you know, because this kid hasn't played in 2 years, okay? So a lot of it we'll start knowing once we get closer to, I think, you know, preseason, once we start seeing how these quarterbacks are doing. You know, can Sam Bradford scramble out of a pocket? You know, how well can he scramble out of a pocket? You know, these are all going to be things that we're going to think about. And when he's scrambling, can he stay calm and collective under pressure? He hasn't had to feel that pressure in 2 years. You know, these are all things. So for me, I look at Sam Bradford coming back as a rookie quarterback. Now, with that said, if you're going to compare Chip Kelly to Bill Belichick, then yes, you're right. Chip Kelly's going to start trying to chisel away at this statue and make a David out of it, you know? But, and this
yeah,
would be.
And so that, you think about it too. Does the NFC East really have any power, like pass rushers? There's no real pass rushers in the NFC East anymore.
No. I guess not. I mean, when you look at the teams in the NFC East, I guess, like I said, the Redskins are they're just a laughing stock. The Cowboys would be the only real team that would, have a defense that would put, you know, Bradford under pressure. Because the Giants are still, I mean, you know where the Giants are at these days.
They need to go into rebuilding mode eventually.
No, absolutely.
At some point. Who knows what they're going to do. But so Chip Kelly then. Does Chip Kelly have, with whatever plan he's doing, because he just got that whole personnel control, all that good jazz they gave him, he's doing it his way right now. Does Chip Kelly get a couple seasons? Or is there a certain amount of losses that will be where they're like, this isn't working, Chip. Even after one or two seasons, I mean, like, do they still give him at least one season to have a losing season as he implements his plan?
I think it depends on how the season goes. I mean, if he ends up going, like, 2-14, yeah, you can kiss his job goodbye. But if he's on the cusp again where he goes 10-6 or 9-7, I think he's given another year.
Correct. I think it comes down to the quarterback, man. Like, there's just not a lot out there. Like, you put – oh, gosh, and plus, see, that team doesn't have a lot, to really be honest. The defense was lacking. That's why he wanted, you know who.
Kuechly.
Yeah. I almost called him Luke Kuechly, and I knew that was wrong. That'd be a great player to have.
No, absolutely.
But I think the rest of the team, there's not much of a defense. And the offensive line is mediocre at best. Oh, man, no receivers to speak of right now.
Well,
what are they going to – are they going – I mean, what are they – there's no one really for Bradford to throw it to.
So, okay, let's look – okay, if you really want to go down their roster, let's break it down. Okay, quarterbacks, they've got Matt Barkley, a former Heisman, you know, runner when he was healthy before he got hurt or decided to come back for a senior year. You have Sam Bradford, who's a six-year, you know, veteran. Some kid at Tulsa that I've never heard of. And then Mark Sanchez. I think right now, basically, the quarterbacks that you have are Mark Sanchez and Sam Bradford. I think those are, to me, Mark Sanchez is trying to get his career back and running. And I don't think he's a terrible quarterback. You know, I think he's doing pretty well for his situation in Philadelphia. Okay, so
in a way, he's better than Bradford because he plays.
Exactly. Now, at running back, you know, obviously they got DeMarco Murray. But this is where things start to get a little interesting, okay? Because, you know, obviously Chip Kelly coached at Oregon. Okay, so now he's got KenJohn Barner on there as well, okay? Which is a very finesse runner, all right? And then I'm looking at, you know, DeMarco Murray, which will be your power back right there. You've got Ryan Matthews, and then you also have Darren Sproles, all right? Mm-hmm. Then we go to receiver. This is the interesting part. Check this out. three of the receivers that Philadelphia has are from the University of Oregon. They have Josh Huff, which was a phenomenal receiver when he was at Oregon. A name that one of my favorite receivers from Oregon, Jeff Mayhill. All right, and this was a kid that I felt was like under the radar going into the draft a few years back. He never got drafted. The Texans gave him a chance, and it never panned out. I still believe that that guy, that Jeff Mayhill, could turn into something of what they have with like Riley Cooper, for example, or even like a Wes Welker is where I compare him to. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Mayhill, and then they have another kid named Will Murphy. All right. So you got three Oregon wide receivers, and you know that if they come from the University of Oregon, they have speed. And I'll tell you right now that Josh Huff and Jeff Mayhill have hands. You already have Riley Cooper, who is a for sure good receiver, a go-to receiver. So you have options there. What I like about the receivers that they have is that a lot of them are under the radar, no big names. So I have a feeling when they go play against opposing defenses, you're going to have trouble. I think corners are going to have trouble covering these receivers because I think all of them have so much potential to be successful.
And if anyone's going to pull it out of them, it'd be Chip Kelly.
Exactly. You know, and then you look at tight end, you've got Brett Celek and you got Zach Ertz. Two good, good tight ends. All right.
I say Celek's a little up and down.
Yeah. So I look at their offense and I'm like, okay, you know, they have pieces in play, but we don't know how they're gonna match up when it comes to actual NFL play. You know?
Yeah.
It's taking some of the best, you know, college players or the better college players that were out there a few years back. And now we're going to see what kind of, you know, potential they have in the NFL.
So is Chip Kelly basically thinking, I just want a bunch of guys who I know are going to buy into the system so I can give my system the best chance to be performed?
Yeah. And that's where you were
still,
going.
Bradford still understands that offense. I mean, I think they ran spread in college, but, like, I think he all these players that Chip Kelly's brought in are players that want to play for Chip, that will go to war for Chip.
Yeah. And you're right. You're going to get players from Oregon that are going to want to play for him. And I like what Chip Kelly's doing because he's giving players that were under the radar a chance. And I think, honestly, you look at what Belichick has done. He's taken players that were under the radar, and they've turned into be really, really, you know, successful.
Right. Interesting. So, what would be this is a really weird little question. What's like one, I guess, weird prediction? Like something that comes out of left field, something that you think is going to happen in the NFL this season that maybe other people aren't thinking will happen?
Something out of left field is going to come out this season?
Yeah, like what do you think? Something weird that could happen that you're thinking that you have this weird inkling that, oh, this could go down or this could happen, and I'm not sure why I feel that way, but that could happen in, like, any kind of
prediction. Oh, I don't know. You know, I think there's so much potential still down the road with you know, the draft coming up, and then with that, you're going to see crazy amount of trades happen. I mean, you look at for Graham, who got traded from the Saints to the Seahawks, that I think that team came out of left field. I did not see that happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe what do I know? Maybe other people did. But things out of left field, you know, I think with this free agency period, this is not the end of crazy, you know, transactions yet. I think we still have a ways to go. And I think as we get closer to the draft day, I think we're going to see something big happen there.
Right.
But
I think
to pin it down and say something specific, I can't do that right now.
There is a crazy prediction that I have that I think might happen. And I usually do this every season, but to myself. I just kind of pick certain weird. I have this feeling that the Patriots and Colts rivalry will be renewed this season in the postseason, and I think the Colts are going to the Super Bowl.
Colts to the Super Bowl? Let me think.
That's my crazy prediction.
With what they picked up, Yes, absolutely. I can see the Colts representing the AFC. I think
look how close they've been. I mean, like, they've gotten to the playoffs. They've lacked a couple things. I think with a veteran like Gore, a veteran like Johnson, a great player in Andrew Luck who's becoming a great leader and a great veteran, those three guys right there will control the locker room and they will have confidence playing against New England, especially if the Colts manage to pick up the top seed and the New England has to go to Indianapolis. I think the Colts will make it through the AFC.
You wanted a prediction, right? Here's my prediction. I don't think the Patriots make the playoffs. I think they've lost too many players.
I say that almost every year, and it never happened.
Nah, this year is different. Look at the AFC East right now, okay? They know Patriots are about to decline. It's about to happen, and maybe it's about to happen this season. I think Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, this is his last Super Bowl that he won. I wholeheartedly believe that. You know, with Ndamukong Suh going to Miami, you've got Tannehill, who's developed into a good quarterback. That team is really starting to click. You know, it's just needed, I think, a presence like Suh to put him over the top. Now, look
at the game here. He's given you, I think Suh has given you three games.
Yeah. Well, and then you look at the Buffalo Bills, what they're doing. They got LeSean McCoy now, all right? And now you bring in, you know, the Eagles, what is it, Rex Ryan, okay? If he can be successful there, the Buffalo Bills become strong. Then you look at the Jets, whose defense is starting to get pretty thick. It looks like, especially with the corners, they realize that, you know, the Dolphins have a quarterback in Tannehill, and you have to go up against Tom Brady twice. You know, now you got Cromartie and Revis to go ahead and counteract that, you know.
And Cromartie and Revis know Tom Brady, and Revis was able to be a part of Tom Brady's team.
Exactly.
For a Super Bowl,
exactly.
He is going to be in his head.
Exactly. And so you look at, you know, that, and then they bring in Brandon Marshall, which I still think is a good wide receiver. Yeah, he's older, but he's still a good receiver. Percy Harvin, you know. They just need the quarterback.
Brandon Marshall's great. That's what, well, then, you know what, I want Mariota to go to New York.
Oh, me too. I'm looking at what's starting to happen there. I think they have it in their heads that they're preparing to draft a quarterback. When you look at everything that they're doing, they're getting prepared to draft a quarterback. I think the next piece after
the
quarterback is the running back.
Mariota will be successful there.
Yep. I see.
Mariota
will
be successful there.
And what's good about Mariota is that he's a likable player. Okay, so he goes to the city like New York, who's been waiting for a hero. I mean, you look at Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter just retired. That's like New York's last great hero, okay?
Yep.
So, and I'm looking at all sports. The Knicks are floundering, okay? I don't, you know, not too many people concentrate on the New York Islanders or the New York Rangers when it comes to hockey, but, you know, the Rangers are a decent team still, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the New York Giants, which have been struggling, and the Jets have just been god-awful the past few seasons. New York does not have a star player anymore to look up to. You know, Derek Jeter retired. That's it. Gone. You know? So if you can bring in a market, you've got to prepare a team prepared for him where you can help him be successful, you know, you will have the city backing you because he is such a likable player. You know?
Yeah, I think the Jets do well this year if they get Mariota. I'm totally on board with the Colts going to the Super Bowl, and we'll see how that changes. Throughout the program, I think what we'll do is I think we should have our little, I guess if you want to call it competition, where we predict the games every week. And then what I want to do is when the season starts, we pick, you know, the NFC champion, AFC champion, who wins the Super Bowl. Then mid-season, we have the opportunity to change it, and then blah, blah, blah. We should definitely do that. I think that'd be fun. Well, thank you for joining us today, Lino Hernandez.
James.
So, yeah, we will be back next week, and as we keep going along with this broadcast, we'll get better and better. And we're glad that you joined us. Thank you for joining us in the studio. From ours to yours, we just hope that you have, you know, a wonderful day, wonderful evening, and we can't wait for the football season to start. I know that this broadcast today was all NFL, but there was just so much to talk about, and there's nothing else in any other sport right now.
I think next time we definitely have to start talking a little bit about baseball and other sports too, you know. Maybe even like how the NFL contemplating putting the DHL or the DH rule in their league. So
yeah. Yeah, there's actually some exciting things going on in baseball this year that are coming up. I know people are kind of interested to see what A-Rod's going to do. yeah, so we'll see what we're going to be talking about next week. I don't know, but we will see. I can't wait to see this Chip Kelly thing play out. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Indianapolis Colts, Super Bowl. For the AFC, you know what? Indianapolis Colts Super Bowl champions 2016. All right.
No, I think Seattle three straight Super Bowls. They won their second Super Bowl.
two for three. Hey, with Jimmy Graham, who knows? Sky's the limit. Anyway,
who knows?
Y'all have a wonderful evening, and we will see you next time.